someone committing an act of murder, God forbid, or oppression beyond that is going to be very different. What we generally have been told as a responsibility towards different wrongs that we see is that first step we need to have is to hate it in our hearts, dislike it and despise it in our hearts. This is a first step that a lot of times we don't have, unfortunately. We become desensitized. We see certain wrongs happening in society, people doing very wrong things, and there being an effort made to make certain things feel normal, and we go with the flow, and we actually start feeling normal about it, and we don't feel bad about it. There's an effort, there's an agenda in the West, in the United States especially, I don't know about Canada, to desensitize people towards homosexuality, okay, and not consider that wrong. And to an extent where we feel, I've visited communities on the West Coast, in California, where the Shia youth have started to question and say, you know, why is this wrong in the first place? Why do we consider that bad? Is it really bad? Is it really wrong? And so on and so forth. When there are sins, there are wrong acts that we see happening, the first thing we need to do, make sure we do, is we dislike it at heart. We shouldn't feel comfortable with it. We shouldn't feel that it's okay that it happened. People are doing this, living together without being married. It's okay. No, I may not be able to do anything about it, but at least I should know that this is wrong and dislike it. So that's the first step. Whatever the sin is, whether I can say something or I cannot say something, or I can do something about it or I can't do anything about it, I have got to dislike that sin when seen, or when we know about it. Secondly, we've got to take some form of action towards it, depending again on what type of wrong it is that we see around us. Many times we see believers, brothers and sisters in our local communities doing things wrong, and for some reason the strength to, you know, talk about issues and to try to, in a polite way, in a nice way, in a constructive way, not in a way where we're going to push people away, but in a constructive way, try to bring positive change in our communities. That's something that unfortunately at times we see is not happening in our communities. Instead of moving in the right direction, we end up moving in the wrong direction. And sometimes people feel that in order to keep the unity of the community, then we're going to have to remain silent and not do anything about things and not say anything. No, we've got to try to balance this out, try to correct the wrong. At the same time, do it in a way that it's constructive. According to the verses of the Holy Quran, it's Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar that preserves positive unity, that preserves the unity of the community in the right direction. Then there are issues that are beyond just, you know, family and local communities. There are certain wrongs that are global wrongs that are taking place, and they require global movements against them. Well, for them, we need to organize. We need to bring the awareness to ourselves and bring awareness to the people. The oppressions that are taking place globally through governments like the government of the United States of America, where I'm from, and the Zionist regime, and certain European countries, their governments, that are oppressing much of the world's population and taking their resources, oppressing them, killing them, torturing them, in the name of democracy and other things, then we have got to bring that awareness to ourselves that this wrong is happening, and not just live in these countries and have that luxury. Enjoy the luxuries that are based on and founded upon the oppressions that have taken place and are taking place globally. And because of those oppressions, we are enjoying the blessings here, enjoying the benefits of having cheap food, cheap gas, cheap everything compared to the rest of the world. And everything is available to us. We can't just sit around and enjoy that. We've got to be aware of what's going on ourselves and bring that awareness and awakening to others as well. The movement, the responsibility that we have is to create global awakening, global awareness, where the people of the world decide to change things. And that's what's going to help pave the path for the coming of the Imam of our time. People's readiness, the masses being ready to hear the right message and move in the right direction, waiting for the right leader. And that's going to lead to, inshallah, the coming of the Imam of our time. These are, I think, the responsibilities that we have in dealing with the wrongs. That would include and involve sometimes spending money, but also making other efforts, maybe, I don't know, giving talks, organizing programs, different activities that... But the direction should be what I mentioned. All the efforts should be made, inshallah, towards that.
How do you stop backbiting ourselves? How do you stop backbiting ourselves? And if someone's backbiting in front of you, how can you stop them? Because then if you don't stop them, it's like you get sinned too.
Controlling oneself in a situation where sin is available, one of them, one of the worst sins being backbiting, which is an important sin to try to avoid. We have this question, I think, in regards to many of the sins that sometimes we get involved with. How do we avoid these sins? And it's difficult to avoid sins. It's difficult. Especially when we've been used to certain sins. It's easy, especially the sins of the tongue, not just backbiting, disrespecting others, saying words or saying things that hurt other people's feelings, hurt a believer's feelings. Those are haram, it's a sin, we cannot do that. So how do we prevent ourselves from doing that? The first thing that I need to say, which is important for us to come to the realization of, is that I remember when I went first to Qom to try to learn Islam and try to, you know, hopefully people try to go to Qom, the first objective they have is to try to better themselves. So you're looking for someone that can guide you and help you and instruct you what to do, how to avoid these sins and so on and so forth. And it's difficult, you know, so we're looking for somebody to come and give us some instructions as to how we're going to be avoiding these sins. Struggling with it. We're trying to avoid it, but can somebody help us out here? So we're looking, we go to different sessions, this person says do this prayer, the other person says do this salawat, or this dhikr, or this activity, and so on and so forth, and you know what, none of it worked. Okay. None of it worked. Do this ziyarah, do this dua, do this prayer. None of it really worked. Cry for the Ahlul Bayt. Okay, that's great, but I'm not seeing any positive, any real change. Then we came across a scholar that gave it to us the hard way. He came and gave lectures 3 weeks in a row for his akhlaq class. He read Surah Ash-Shams that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears 11 times. Then he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Whoever purifies themselves, they have reached prosperity. And whoever does not, then they have been doomed, basically, paraphrasing. And then he talked about that and he said what taqwa is. And taqwa is avoiding sin and performing the obligations that we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wajib and the haram, and being careful with that. And that's it. 5 minutes. Q&A. We have this problem, what should we do? He said, practice taqwa, you're going to get it. I'm committing this sin, what do I do? Avoid sins, do your obligations, inshallah you get there. I want to be able to have spirituality, what do I do? Taqwa, avoid sins, it's going to strengthen your iman. 45 minutes, any question that he got, the answer was taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Like, okay, you know what, we know, but how do we avoid it? How do we do that? And his answer was basically, look, there's nothing that's going to cause you to avoid it. There's nothing that's going to cause you to stop it automatically. You have got to choose to stop it. That's the whole point. Being tested. You're in a situation, you can commit sin, you choose not to, and there's nothing that's going to stop you except for you. Alright, so this is the first point. There's no dhikr, there's no dua, there's nothing that's going to cause me to stop. What is going to cause me to stop is my choice. I choose not to do that. Alright. Now what happens is, when we decide, when we make that decision to avoid sins, the sins that are related to the tongue especially, well, we make that decision, but before we know it, a couple days later, I've committed that same sin 50 times. I've done so many backbiting. I've slandered, I've disrespected others, I've used foul language, all these different sins of the tongue. I've done it. So, how do we do this? How do we bring that change? It's a gradual process. You make the decision not to commit that sin, and you're able to keep that promise between you and God, and you don't commit that sin, then eventually you find yourself having committed it. Well, we need to, as soon as we realize that, we repent. We ask for tawbah, we ask for forgiveness. We again decide that we're not going to do that. All right. Then again, after a few days, we find ourselves in the same sin, in the same mess again. Well, we need to do that tawbah again. Repent, ask for forgiveness, I'm never going to do this again. Then again, it's going to happen, and again we're going to repent, and this process repeats itself. And gradually we're going to be able to take control of this nafs of ours. It's a gradual process. The same way that we want to take care of this body. I don't know if how many of you have been involved with sports or being, you know, getting in shape, working out. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. The first time you're going to get involved with it, then you may get really tired, you may give up. Those who give up, they're not going to succeed. They're not going to be able to move forward. But those who go through the pain, they are not able maybe to continue for a couple of days, but then they're going to come back next week and they do it again. They get tired, they get sore, but then they're going to come back again and do it again. And gradually, they start building those muscles and building that body. The soul is the same way. We gradually build it. We decide to avoid the sins. We decide to fulfill the obligations. We do it after a while, since we've been used to it. We're going to fall in the same sin. But that shouldn't stop us if we are persistent. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Those who are believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are persistent and have perseverance in continuing on that path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the victory. We have to go through the hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us the victory. So in summary, there's nothing that's going to stop us except for us. And it's a gradual process. Yes, we decide we're going to do it and we're going to fall in the same sin again. Next day, 2 days from now, 3 days from now. But what we're going to do is we're going to get back on our feet, try again, and ask God for help. We're going to repeat this gradually. We're going to be able to learn how to control that nafs. In addition to that, something that can be useful, based on the verses of the Holy Quran and the teachings that the ulama, based on those verses, give us, is that the problem with the tongue is when you let it go, when you let the guards down, when it says whatever it wants, then you're going to end up in sin. So it's better to avoid laghw, they say. Avoid talk that you don't see any benefit. Basically, try to remain silent. Sumt is itself a virtue. Try to remain silent. Don't talk too much in general. Don't talk too much. Some of the people who had trouble controlling that tongue of theirs, the instruction of the scholars, the ulama to them was just try to stick to the bare minimum words. Don't talk too much. Until they were able to gradually build that control over the tongue, then they would speak a lot more normally to everybody, they would have their jokes, but it would be controlled. They would know what their limits are. And as soon as they see that they're going in the wrong direction, they stop it. Okay. So if we avoid speaking except for when there's a necessity, there's a reason to speak, gradually we can gain that control of the tongue and only where it's beneficial, it's useful, it's kind to others, it's saying kind things about others, that's when we're going to be saying those words. How much longer are we going to continue this?